We're stuck here. Who got me here? I didn't want to come.
You can blame me, Joe.
I could have blown my brains out, have gone over Niagara Falls in a barrel, or found some other decent way to die.
The picture you've been reading about in every important national magazine and newspaper. Among them, Life. This week, the New York Times. Popular Science. Seeing Stars. Popular Mechanics. Parade. The New York Daily News.
I got this dress at a thrift store for $1.
It was worth every penny.
It's a bridesmaid's dress. Someone loved it intensely for one day and tossed it.
On a roll now, and those of us who have been into the subject understand quite well that this one comes in waves. Back to the 50s and look at the the publishing that has taken place, and there are times when the stuff is off the charts, and then there are times when it recedes into the background.
It was a half a mile to the village, Padre Miguel explained as we moved our supplies into a jumbled heap on the sand. I'm sure you'll be well received, called the priest from the river as he wheeled the little speedboat around.
What else contributed? Seeking ecstasy. Ecstasy. I seek to be filled with joy, fully at peace. I seek to be fully, or to be filled with happiness and expectation. Fully accepting myself, I seek majesty and awe. Fully able to soar carefree, I seek to be loved, and to love and to be fully loved. I seek euphoria, a timeless spacelessness, a oneness, the sacred, the ineffable, transforming, transmuting. I seek the transcendental. I seek the glow, the symmetry, the glow in everything. I seek some sense of divine order, some sense of the divine. See, that's ecstasy. And when one starts seeking ecstasy and pursuing the unknown, that can trigger it. Creativity, with imagination, will, and passion. Creativity, with imagination, will, and passion. Your child will color in a coloring book. And then there comes a time when they really want to stay inside the lines. They really do. They're passionate about it. And tongue comes out. And they are lost in space and time. They've got to stay inside the lines. And then comes a time when they want to draw pictures without lines. They want to do it themselves. Creativity, imagination, will, passion. When these are triggered, not just in such a state as that, but when radiance, to seek abundance, balance, momentum.
Then you punish those bad guys because they're really awful, and you punish them really hard and so on, and that makes people even more frightened. You can just see that happening right around you. And building up the perception of crime. Crime has what they call in literary theory, a subtext. You're supposed to understand criminal has the word black in front of it, just like welfare mother, black, rich black. Welfare mother, and criminal means that black guy is coming after you. So what you want to do is, and this has the dual effect of getting rid of a superfluous population, basically unskilled workers, close race class correlation, also demonizing them, so everybody else is scared and frightened, and they'll be willing to accept what's happening to them too and not look at where the source is. So that part of the drug wars, basically, for this has almost nothing to do with drugs, but it has plenty to do with criminalizing an unwanted population and scaring everybody else.
Like English actor Peter Ustinov, It was bewildering.
For an actor, it can be a fairly uncomfortable and comic experience to play a slave in a film which is well staffed by latter-day romantics. In the past, I have played an emperor, which is a tiring business, but certainly everyone treated me with incredible circumspection, attending to my every whim with the most embarrassing servility, and even inventing whims for me when my capricious invention ran dry. This was certainly because to Hollywood people, Hollywood emperors are more real than real emperors. In the process of democratization, my next role after the emperor was a prince, a mere prince. And here already, in a minute degree, I could sense the rot setting in. While everyone was almost as keen to know my, or is it our, pleasure as before, there was a tendency here and there to sneak a sly wink in my direction, to be a bit slovenly about fetching those nerve-steadying beverages, and, in general, to make it known to me in a subtle and unkind way that I was no longer an emperor, but my throne was approached by a humbler, by a less steep flight of steps, and that I was on the way down the social scale.
Suits you.
I can borrow it sometime.
We'll call it almost like a post-John Mack era. I hope I don't get into trouble with that one. But the last wave of interest, in some sense, was something that certainly a preeminent local author in the Boston area, John Mack, had a hand in driving. And it preceded that somewhat with a fascinating conspiratorial view of UFOs and aliens. Mack had a positive spin, and his presence and position within the academic establishment certainly gave this subject quite a bit of recognition. That one, at any rate, kicked in for whatever reasons, and now it is somewhat receding. I think that has to do with, something of an overpublication of titles. There was just too much stuff saying the same thing, so there was something of a dilution of material. Also, it just seems to run a course. There's an intense focus on the alien presence. And then after a while, it just sort of fades because it doesn't seem to develop. So you have the same information over and over again. Barring another breakthrough in this arena, it seems to be relatively quiet. Now, there is an area, however, that is a focal point, and that is the deep conspiratorial dimension dealing with extraterrestrials. The proponent of this, David Icke, has certainly become a true force within our areas. Icke is a fascinating figure. Aligned with the Green Party at one time, a rebellious individual, we certainly, who has assimilated a tremendous amount of data and details and has developed an overarching conspiracy theory, which certainly good conspiracy theory is indeed overarching. That is its power. It tends to explain or tries to explain or claims to explain everything that ever evolved on this planet. And Icke seems to be in that class.
Now, do you believe it?
Well, the belief system involves a contingent of shape-shifting reptilians who essentially, through interbreeding bloodlines and secret societies, more or less rule this planet and subject other elements of the population to various levels of torture and pain to keep this control and generate their lifestyle, as it were.
I can believe it. I should have him on the show.
And with this overarching principle, well, he's a hot ticket. You might have a little trouble pulling him into ZBC, but give it a shot.
Well, a pleasure to be talking with you this afternoon, and this afternoon we are going to be discussing dominion. It is a strange and wondrous term. The very sound of the word has a certain conveyance of rightness to it. It's a very nice sounding word. When you hear that word dominion, it conjures up images of soft edges and conjures up very pleasant images indeed. When you hear the word, it has a certain smoothness, a certain quietness to it, most definitely. But what does it mean? What does it mean? We have talked of it on previous occasions quite numerously, slipping it in here and there among discussions of confidence and in discussions of loving and in various discussions of developing your spirituality and getting in touch with the core of your self with capital letters, the importance of establishing dominion and having dominion, of giving up domination, which is a very harsh sounding word and conjures up images of explosive sharp edges and things of this sort. But to give up domination and to have dominion, it just sounds right, it sounds good, it makes one feel makes one breathe a little easier. But then again, what is dominion? And how do you establish it? And why should you bother, other than the fact that it sounds nice?
Who worked in the field of studying drug use and providing services for drug users. And they could see that AIDS was rising in that community. And they felt that a needle exchange that provided clean needles for drug users would be an important way of helping to stop the spread of AIDS. And at the time, that was illegal in California. But we decided to just go ahead and set it up and do it. We took direct action. We saw what we thought needed to happen, and we created it. And what actually happened was we didn't get arrested because the police actually supported the idea of that direct action. They could see the same things and the same factors going on as we could. It eventually got legitimized and sort of quasi-legalized and became the largest needle exchange program in the country.
Your significance, then, was that those gentlemen had violated those statutes and were guilty of those particular offenses which carried either a five-year sentence, $10,000, or 5 years and $5,000. Is that correct?
That's correct, Senator.
I'm 6 years old again, passing messages between parents.
You know what? I really think it's time you got out of here.
Don't worry, I'm here.
Yeah, not that we don't love your little visit.
Oh, no, you are such a nutcase. I can't even begin to keep up.
Here, I got rights there, and we're gonna make the county spend all of this money, and
All they gotta do is they know what they did. They weren't crying about killing people or robbing people out there, but they get here and they cry, and they're living off the taxpayers. You know, I paid taxes for a lot of years. I'm not gonna sit here and have my family pay taxes to kill me.
What's your execution date? The 18th of September.
That clearly was an accurate reflection. And I think it's kind of funny. Jefferson did start out as a real estate lawyer, and having practiced law myself, I think of real estate law being the least poetic of any profession I can think of. Jefferson turned out to be the poet of the revolution.
Something is happening. I want to keep it happening. Momentum. See, these are the resonances. These are the energies, if you will, that when triggered at a certain degree, amped up to a certain amount, with a certain intensity, will turn on these speakers, will cause this hypothalamus to vibrate, and will produce the release of the chemical that will produce profound change in the form, structure, and substance, somewhere between the stages of growing and changing in the life of a human being. Now, every human being is set up physiologically with the neural receptors focused right here. And every human being has the opportunity, and to some degree or another, seeks those states of resonance. Every human being seeks the hallows by choice. And I'm looking for something beautiful. Something. A little peace and quiet for a change. If I could just get off by myself, away from the horror of my life. It may not come from the best motivation, mind you, but it's there. Every child, every adolescent seeks the hallows. You did, and so did every other kid. You may not call it that. You didn't call it that then. But you sought something enchanting. You sought something beautiful. You sought something of love. And you sought something of solitude. And you did it by choice. Now, if that had been amped up enough, if that had been intense enough, it could have triggered. Every one of you and every kid in not in the stage of kidness. Seeks ecstasy. They seek that peak experience, don't they? They want to drive faster when they're 60, and they want to pick up a cuter chick or be picked up by a hunkier hunk. They're waiting for that first sexual experience that they know will be sheer ecstasy, that will lift them, whatever their gender, into total states of bliss. You often find out that's not the case, but nonetheless, before it happens, it's there. Every 13-year-old, you know, watching Blue Lagoon. Every 13-year-old boy watching Brooke Shields in the Blue Lagoon. But other than that, it is that secret of the unknown, the creator, the imagination of the world. And if any of these, all of which occur in everybody to some degree, if any of them or a combination of them gets amped up, the trigger. For some people, that happens in the larval stage of childhood and adolescence. They do gather from the pain, from the fear, from the joy, from the happiness, from the nightmares, from the dreams, from the memories, from those, they do gather what they need. The gifts, the treasures, from the battlefield of life, they gather what they need. And they do at the time of wounding enter that peacock state. Other pupa states have been entered, but now in the cocoon of wound, they enter the pupa state. And they become very still, and they ponder, and they digest. And in that pupa state, in that cocoon, they long for all the hallows by choice. And they long for ecstasy and the unknown. They long to create with passion, with imagination, with will. And they long for a radiance, an abundance, a balance, a momentum. And they do it with an intensity that does trigger. And all that they were emotionally and mentally gets consumed. And they begin crafting their own life.
Thanks, bye.
Still waste time with her.
Say this about Marlon. She's trying to get Bob.
What? And I'm not.
Sticking feathers up your butt does not make you a chicken.
What are we doing tonight?
Tonight? We make soap.
Really?
To make soap, first we render fat.
On the other end over here, we'll have people who adopt nonviolence as a tactic for their particular actions, and we'll just spread ourselves across the room that way.
His government wages one of the world's fiercest wars against marijuana.
This is ridiculous. This is sicko. Your country has a problem. Your country has a drug problem. A drug war on people. Not on the drugs, because you only have more people who have problems with drugs. More violence. It's terrible.
Actually, that's my Frank Capra series. I did it. Whenever I do a piece like that on a record, I always put a title of a Frank Capra movie on it. So I don't know which one that should be.
you're here in the studio with a very portable-looking, misshapen, finely shapen guitar.
That fits under the airplane seat, which is a Klein guitar. It's a beautiful little guitar.
It is beautiful. And a very thin, stereo component-looking thing with a couple of LED meters on it.
A little digital delay, a little echo, sort of, so to speak.
And a foot pedal.
A vinyl.
Let's see. Does the compactness of performance equipment like this have anything to do with, like, scuba equipment?
No, I mean, usually...
It's like you can go into your own little world, though.
I'm addicted to equipment, so I have this huge, you know, 200 pounds of stuff I have to drag around to feel secure and happy playing.
A lot of it can't fit under the seats.
I can't. I wish it was here tonight, but one can survive without it.
How much equipment? I mean, what do you need to create the Henry Kaiser world?
Well, I do acoustic guitar, really, but I'm chicken, so I really need two harmonizers, two digital delays, electric guitar, a good-sounding tube amplifier, and then I'm flying. Yeah.
With direction and design. Rebellion from the consensus. Not just rebellion. For rebellion without direction and design is not rebellion at all. It's anarchy. It's entitlements. It's tyranny. It's terrorism. When rebellion has direction and design, then it can be rebellion. And so the second component is with direction and design, rebellion from the consensus. Third, self-imposed and temporary, both conditions essential, self-imposed and temporary exile from the illusion of which you are still a part, from the consensus of which you are still a part. Self-imposed, choosing to exile yourself, but only temporarily, knowing that you are still a part of your consensus. And finally, the magician's journey returns with Prometheus return, bringing back the gifts and treasures, bringing back the secrets and mysteries that were discovered upon the journey. The journey to the other side of Humpty Dumpty's wall is a hero's journey, is a magician's journey. And when you can prepare and execute such a journey, then you can utilize the beautiful unknown as an empowered path. So let us turn, before we take a break, yes, let us turn to talk of preparation. Now, when we talk of preparation, it's going to sound like, so much work. But once you've prepared, once you've done the work, from then on, mostly you just update it, or tuck in a few loose ends, or go down a quick to-do checklist. You don't have to start from scratch each time. You don't have to start over each time. So at first the preparation may seem time-consuming, and it may well consume time. But once it's done, then there is an elegance and ease that can ensue. So bear with us as we talk.
Towers float to the surface, like in Boy Scouts.
Hard to imagine you as a Boy Scout.
Keep stirring. Once the towel hardens, you skim off a layer of glycerin. You would add nitric acid, you got nitroglycerin. You would then add sodium nitrile, a dash of sawdust, you got dynamite.
eventually, I was designing computers with many, you know, half the chips that the companies were selling them with.
I hadn't realized that. That's where the impetus came from, was from you competing with yourself.
Yep, and I did not think, as I did all these computer designs, I did not think I would ever have a job in computer design. When I graduated high school, I was sure that engineers designed TVs and radios and satellite control systems and the like, and I didn't think the engineers designed computers. I had no idea, and I was going to be an engineer.
I think one of the things that attracted me to working with children the most is their honesty, really, and their degree of courage in just saying and seeing exactly what they feel.
Peoples are coming to be more aware of balance. You more often refer to it as karma. That is so, but it takes on more far-reaching implications. For every thought that is expressed within your physical mind, there is a like energy that ensues from your physical bodies. The same with your illnesses and so forth. With all of your physical movements and interactions, you create an energy release, and there is then a counterbalance to the same. So it is first a responsibility and a respect for the energy that is around you. As you become more aware that the things which you have not considered to be living or have not acknowledged their presence as such, that they would not demand as much respect for their existence, perhaps a rock or a blade of grass or whatever it may be, once you come to understand that it is energy also expressed much as you are, then you will start feeling the connectedness that we were discussing. So we would say, become more aware of your surroundings and your interactions and what reactions are caused by your actions.
Search into time, they could not have.
No.
Or the Montauk business could not have happened.
Essentially true. Montauk was a continuation of some of the research done in the Photoff experiment. It was also a continuation of research which the Germans had been doing because they had their own invisibility project. And they ran into the same disastrous problems we did. And they scrapped their project, except that when the war was over, we, shall we say, acquired their scientists and their know-how, and everyone was put into Brookhaven National Laboratories in 47 to continue the research on time travel, mind control, and all of the other aspects which had been buried. Officially, the Philadelphia experiment, which was known as Project Rainbow, was terminated in 1947. Now, in 1949, they resurrected it under a new name, Project Mirage. And they said to von Neumann, it says, see if you can find out what went wrong, see if you can salvage any part of this.
Right. It's not something you just let go of. A lot of times these stories just stop, you know, and we never picked up on it. That would come across to me as baloney.
Yep.
It's a very, very powerful, dangerous technology.
That's right.
But that's never stopped the military before.
No, they didn't stop.
Too powerful
to stop.
They solved
problems. Von Neumann did solve the problems in 1953, and he had, of course, have as part of his solution the computer, the new one which he had designed. He delivered a new system to the Navy. They tested it on the carrier Midway, and it was fully successful. There were no personal side effects. And, of course, I was no longer part of that project. I was long since out of the Navy as Ed Cameron and out of Ed Cameron, if you will. And I only know that they did solve the problem and it was fully successful. Part of the solution was a reduction in the power level. And from that point on, of course, for many generations, it's now on all of our fighter aircraft. It's on the large carriers. The Israelis have it on their fighter aircraft. There's even been public demonstrations over Hawaii. And
people have seen a lot of craft come and go, believe me, Al. Listen,
yes.
We're...
AIDS. He just kind of shut off that whole aspect of it by not mentioning John's name. In fact, it was a subject I never broached again.
Over about a period of years, Warhol made an extraordinary number of works of a very interesting kind. I mean, they were just so strange and so interesting. And then he seemed to have run out a bit. First of all, you've got to remember that he's not only a painter in those years, he's doing so many things. He's all over the place, and some of the intensity and concentration disappears as he becomes involved as a media person himself.
I think in this reading I'll try to follow a thread, and that thread is the shadow. The psychologist Jung talks about the fact that every personality has a shadow side. And just as when the sunlight hits the body turns light, but the shadow remains dark. In the same way, there's a side of everyone's personality which is hidden to him, hidden to us. In high school, we're taught to develop the light side of the personality, to be successful, study mathematics, geometry, and the dark side have become starved. Nature will heal ya. I'm going to begin with a poem called Where We Must Look for Help, which comes out of the old Noah story, though the earlier version is written by the Babylonians. In their version, there wasn't one bird, only one dove, but there were three birds. First a dove went, then a swallow, and finally a crow. I wrote this poem when I was living alone in New York. I'd been living alone several years. And I remember one of the first things I ever understood clearly that I'd felt myself was that if any help was going to come to help me out of my misery, it would come from the dark side of my personality. So that's how the crow comes in. The poem is called Where We Must Look for Help. The dove returns. It found no resting place. It was in flight all night above the shaken seas. Beneath arc eaves, the dove shall magnify the tiger's bed. Give the dove peace. The split-tailed swallows leave the sill at dawn. At dusk, blue swallows shall return. On the third day, the crow shall fly. The crow, the crow, the spider-colored crow. The crow shall find new mud to walk upon.
Corresponding bus and take it to the end of the line. Find the nearby bank of outhouses. In center unit, find pair of blue plastic garbage bags. Make your deposit as usual.
Magazine stand is very, very striking. It has absolutely nothing, well, it has nothing to do with the web.
With advertising and the desire of the advertiser to make sure that everybody who looks at the ad is a potential customer for the product. And so advertising has driven specialization in the last 15 years to a much greater extent than the internet has.
I feel this with all my heart.
The world is so disorderly, it's because you've got all, you know, with the Cold War gone, you've got all these ethnic groups killing each other and so on. Well, as usual, it's always a good idea to start by asking about the facts. Whenever you hear anything said very confidently, the first thing that should come to mind is, wait a minute, is that true? You know. So is it true? I mean, is it true that there's more ethnic conflict now than there was 20 years ago? Well, take a look. in most of the big conflicts that are going on around the world were going on right through the Cold War, like Burundi and Rwanda. There were huge massacres going on in the early 70s. Actually, I wrote about them at the time. Nobody was talking about them because it wasn't interesting. But they were there. There are some, just about everyone you pick goes way back. Now, there are some that are new. Those within the former Soviet system, including Yugoslavia, within the old so-called communist system, yeah, they're new. So like the war in Chechnya, or, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Tajikistan, these things are all new. But that's standard. Anytime a tyrannical system breaks down, you have all sorts of conflict internal to it. Just take a look at the breakdown of the European empires. Every single one was like that, and most of them were worse. So first of all, the factual basis is very thin. Now what about the principle clash of civilizations? Like, say, the big bad guy is Islam. Well, there are a few problems with that. The most fundamentalist Islamic state in the world is our big ally, Saudi Arabia. How's that fit? Saudi Arabia is a real... it's not fundamentalist enough for some of the people in it, but it's pretty extreme. Are we trying to undermine Saudi Arabia? Of course not. They're sitting on all the oil. In fact, they're our clients. That's a family dictatorship that we keep in power because they make sure that the money from oil doesn't go to the people of the region but goes to London and New York. So they're okay. There's no clash of civilizations there. That's state fundamentalist. What about individual, like not non-state? Well, by far the worst ones are the guys who are tearing Afghanistan to pieces. You find more crazy Islamic fundamentalists around than them. I don't know about them. Where'd they get their power from? Well, your pocket. They got $6 billion or so, it's claimed, from the United States and Saudi Arabia through the 1980s. Now they're tearing Afghanistan apart, but it's not nothing that we do. We're only wonderful people. Where is this clash of civilizations between Islam and the West? I don't see it. Indonesia is a Islamic state. Do you see us trying to undermine Indonesia? A lot of rotten things in Indonesia, like, for example, wages are about half the level of China, which is not so munificent. Do you see us doing anything about that? I think this is all farce. I don't mean to say total farce. Like, there must be a new paradigm, something that people can build their careers on and write books about and so on and so forth, which can then be turned into a device of controlling people. That part is true. And maybe this will work, or if it doesn't, you try something else.
Time to be 9:15 and 40 seconds. Handshake might suffice. And you're going to find yourself confronted with, are you really going to smoke that joint that's been passed? By whose lips? And those kinds of questions are going to come to you whether you get anywhere near the disease or not. And it's really a question of that breakdown of that hope and the defenseless or defensiveness. And it ties into this principle of mediocrity. It ties into this expansion of the ego, the deadliness of that ego. How frequently, even just the other day, we heard someone tell us about someone they picked up on an airplane. And it was a neat little pickup, you see. And they knew it was a game, and everybody knew it was a game. And that's all right. And I wouldn't take it too far. I know it was my ego, but I wouldn't let my ego take it too far. And we say, how do you know that you wouldn't get some disease? You are thinking you would stop your ego from destroying you by heartbreak. What about by heart failure? Are you so sure and so confident that you are in control of your ego? No, you're not. And your reality, in its bizarreness, is trying to tell you that, as you would perhaps listen to it. Your world is a very bizarre one. In the last 12 months, last 365 days, there have been 4,000, according to your news reports, 4,380 disasters, national or international disasters, of major consequence. Not just somebody's house burned down, isn't that a disaster for them, but the whole community burned down, isn't that a disaster? 4,380 national or international disasters. Average cost $7.5 million per disaster. Now, if you figure that out, 365 days, 24 hours a day, even while you sleep, that's an average of one disaster every 2 hours. One hurricane, one volcano, one earthquake, one mudslide, one flood, one airplane crash. One tornado, one this, one that, one drought, one flash flood, whatever. Every 2 hours. While you're awake, while you're sleeping, while you're daydreaming, while you're complaining. Once every 2 hours. That's practically approaching the death rate. Your planet is trying to tell you something. You have a bizarre reality. It is falling apart around you. And what it's about, as we have talked, is the breach of confidence and the breaking up of hope and the loss of hope. And we have suggested there are remedies to that. personal remedies, but as you work microcosmically, so you affect the world macrocosmically, and those remedies being building self-confidence, developing uniqueness, and being loving. Personally being loving so as to turn the nature of humankind back into the loving nature that it originally was. Today we're speaking of the fourth component. That is building confidence, that is developing uniqueness, that is being loving, and that is doing all of the above with excellence. Not just excellently better than the person sitting next to you. Not just to beat them. Not to compete with them. I'm going to be more loving than you, and I'm going to be more confident than that person, and I'm going to be more unique than everybody. Not to do it excellently, but with excellence. Which then comes around to being excellently, for sure, but it's the direction of flow. And the fourth component is excellence. Because you see, the non-enlightened, who is still out there competitively and comparatively trying to beat the system, is finding they're losing. They're losing. You hear the reports of the multiple disasters. An interesting couple, young couple, living in Utah, Victorian house, you may have seen it on the news, building a Victorian house a couple of years ago, a gas explosion, and destroyed the whole thing. And they started over, building from the ground up, living in the basement, which last week was flooded with 8 feet of mud. They ought to hear that. And the message isn't you shouldn't live on this land. The message is you're competitive, trying to beat, isn't working. Nature is stronger than you. Those people in California, along the northern coast and southern coast for that matter, who in this spring spent the hundreds of thousands of dollars to build up the rocks to keep the sea away, lost. No matter how shrewd, how crafty, how quickly they're able to get raises at work, beat out the other people. They couldn't beat nature. The competitive race, the competitive competition to beat each other isn't working. The non-enlightened is coming to that stubbornly. There must be some other answer. That's what they'll come to. But it's not working. And the dimly lit aren't much help either, as they advocate mediocrity and hiding your head in the sand. There are those that are the enlightened ones, fully lit, fully bright, that recognize that they have a personal responsibility, not to go out there and minister, not to go out there and proselytize, not to go out there and do anything, but to go in here and take the responsibility for the confidence, for the uniqueness, for the loving, and to do so with excellence.
Have arrived and have seated.
Let's proceed.
We can proceed if you're ready.
Colonel Lowe, Mickey, the warden has entered the execution chamber at this time, approaching the microphone, and is in the process of briefing all witnesses to remain quiet and to avoid any unnecessary movement. He is also advising them that medical assistance is available if needed. The warden at this time is in the process of confirming all witnesses. All witnesses have been confirmed. The warden is in the process of advising all witnesses that we will now proceed with the court-ordered execution of Ivan Stanley.
Colonel Lowe, yes, we're still waiting for the
straight to the chair and is seated himself in it. One of the execution team members is now in the process of securing the back strap. The other members are in the process of securing the arm strap and leg strap. The back strap is secure at this time. Both arm straps are secure at this time. They're still in the process of securing the leg strap. At this time, the condemned has been secured in the chair. He is not moving. He's just sitting there very passively staring out at the witnesses. The superintendent has afforded the condemned an opportunity to make a last statement. He has declined to make a last statement.
Are you ready to tell him?
He has afforded the opportunity for prayer. He declined this also. The warden is now in the process of reading the essential court order to the witnesses and to the condemned. The condemned is still sitting there very passively, no movement, staring out at the witnesses. The superintendent is still in the process of reading the court order to the condemned. At this time, the superintendent has completed reading the essential court order. The execution team members are now in the execution chamber with the headset and the leg band. One member is in the process of securing the leg band to the fleshy part of the inmate's right leg. Two members of the execution team is in the process of securing the headset to the condemned. The condemned has offered no resistance throughout. He's just sitting there very passively, not moving. The leg band has been secured to the condemned's right leg, and also the headset has been secured to his head. Perspiration is now being wiped from the forehead of the condemned, and he is secure and ready for execution, with the exception of the hood being placed over his head and the wires being attached to the leg band and to the headset. The electrician now has entered the execution chamber and is in the process of securing the wire to the headset.
And moving very well. Good time to do it right now.
Marable, yes, stand still. Mickey, put William Hill on.
Hello?
William? Okay, Attorney General's here.
Okay.
Hill, this is Mike.
Yeah.
Have you got any reason why the execution shouldn't be carried out?
No, I don't.
Thank you.
All right. Colonel Lowe?
Yes.
Mickey, the wires have been attached and secured to the headset and to the leg band. The perspiration has been wiped again from the condemned's forehead, and the hood is being placed on at this time. The face hood has been secured. All of the warden and all execution team members have departed the execution chamber. Stand by for the warden's last telephone check.
Photograph a fake and state that it is a picture of a chicken brooder. You will learn shortly how this so-called chicken brooder defies gravity and propels itself at great speeds from planet to planet. The key to saucer propulsion is in producing a sufficient monopolar gravitational field and amplifying its excess nuclear pressure. The extraterrestrials do this in the following way. The illustration below depicts an extraterrestrial spacecraft minus its parabolic reflecting dish. The transparent feature that circles the craft's cabin is called a plasma containment tube. Plasma is the fourth state of matter. The first, second, and third states of matter are solid, liquid, and gas. Plasma is very hot, reaching temperatures of up to and beyond 100,000 degrees. Because of its great heat, plasma can be contained only in a magnet bottle, a confinement area consisting of walls of magnetic flux lines. The illustration below depicts such a magnetic bottle.
Notice that there is a concentration of magnets at the bottle's ends, manifesting a pinched effect at those points. A plasma is a very unstable material. Internally, electrons repel electrons and protons repel protons. This interchange instability becomes faster and faster as electrons spin around the bottle's flux lines in one direction and the protons spin around the bottle's flux lines in the opposite direction. Eventually, the particles escape the confines of the bottle at its weakest point. Like air escaping from a punctured tire at the point of the puncture.
We got a bunch of goddamn thugs here taking us on. Now, this Goldwater's talk about morality. When if we wanted to deal in morality, what we could show on that guy. I got the record in front of me where his 89-year-old mother is drawing a tax deduction from the Goldwater stores that are owned by Associated Dry Goods for $4,900 a year. She's too damn old to even get to the store. And when they raised hell, he agreed to reduce it to $1,200. So just let them take a tax deduction pension of
$100. Yeah, I'll be dead.
And then they talked to me about morality.
I know that. I agree with that.
He's lined up with every one of these big gambler thugs. This B.O. and the whole outfit flew them back and forth to Nevada, played with them all the time, had them in his home, all that kind of stuff. Just unthinkable. But we haven't brought any of that out, and I hope we don't have to. But I'm tired of them talking to me about morality.
It takes us a while to fill the longer pipeline.
New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman, grafted into the alloy. You get those sharp little metallic spin effects with all the higher harmonics in there all the time. Of course, that phase ended already. It's just part of the holistic mix now. And the constantly replayed global jukebox. Looping around. But changing, of course. It's not a repeating loop or anything. That would be silly. That'd be a ZBC out of Newton. Pulsing hot radio. Still a good one. For electricity, chauvinistic technology, that is. So I already had turkey a while ago. About a week or so ago. I'm all set.
Years later, when we were grown,
We caught a glimpse of his guilt, his bitterness over what he had done to us. I couldn't afford niggers, he told my sister Billy, so I had daughters.
I was trying to get in the mood for the holiday of Thanksgiving. It's coming upon us. 90.3 FM. Authentic radio can be proven, have documentation. So that must be the truth. Good to toss those around now and again. Because in my version of reality, I trust no one, and I have a world version of the group shared world that has a good amount of lack of trust in it. So, other archive shows on studio475.com/tildeNM. About five now. But I'm having them duplicated in the Southeast Asian area. They're being technologized real quickly now. And of course, the mothership of NewMetaphysics.com, which is being held hostage by the projected image of my amalgamated evil father. I admit it. He's still there. The weapon has been taken out of his hand, but he's still bigger than me. I don't know what this macho throwback phase that's going on now is all about, though. I think that might be you doing. And I've allowed it because I've had a media blackout for years now. I feel like I'm in a hut in the South Pacific listening to reports of the war. That probably ended already, but, you know, who cares anymore? As long as it's not in your personal reality. There's a big difference there. You know, in the illusion of it all. Get to use the telephone. That number will work. It'll get you through. Get the telephone experience. Hack right in there. It's a free country. GaryG4@Mac.com. Email for the major. Very important message. Studio475.com/tildeNM. Just have to fill out a document with lots of personal secret safeguarded information on it. And then you can download the shows. Don't worry, that'll be all taken care of by the new cookies that are out. I never feel a thing. I That's why there's no advertising on that site. Except the subliminal stuff you'll never, they'll never notice. It's disguised as very simple HTML, but it's being offered by the Navy. And they got some really cool stuff now. So they've had it for quite a while, but finally putting it together.
Say people my age and younger, we can't dream of a time when personal computers weren't around. Explain to folks how your interest in computers came about as a high school kid.
Well, pretty much I stumbled into it by accident. I was in electronics. My electronics teacher knew that I was beyond that class, but he arranged for me to go outside of school for something special, to go down to a company and program a computer. We didn't have computers in our schools back then. So I would go down and I'd start writing my first Fortran programs and, you know, just fell in love with that side of it. And then I discovered a computer manual and started designing computers because I'd already done a lot of logic design and stuff in science fair projects and didn't know that I was on the right path to anything productive. But I started designing the computers just for fun to see how few chips I could use and nothing else. And I don't know how to explain it, but I decided by the end of high school, I told my dad, I'm going to have a computer someday, 14 Nova, and he said, well, that costs as much as a house. I said, well, then I'll live in an apartment.
Of course.
You know, I was going to have one someday. You know, and actually, I finally got a company to give me the parts once in about 1970 and built a little 256-byte computer of my own design, mm-hmm. not an existing design. And it was basically a bunch of switches and lights and, you know, looked like an airplane cockpit, just like the Altair that came about 5 years later. So I'd already done that stage of it when the Altair came out, and I'd really kind of lapsed backwards from computers because my favorite company in the world was always Hewlett-Packard, and my favorite product in the world in the early 70s was the Hewlett-Packard 35 scientific calculator.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, somehow by coincidence, I wound up getting a job being made a non-degreed engineer at Hewlett-Packard designing calculator chips. And oh my God, so I was designing those things for a few years, and I kind of lost my connection to computers directly. And microprocessors had come out and gotten kind of affordable and then gotten put into an Altair computer, and I didn't even know it. I didn't know any of this stuff. I just went to the homebrew, first meeting of the Homebrew Computer Club, and found all these other people knew what was going on with computers. And, oh my God, computers were affordable now. And last time I left computers, I'd probably never owned one in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now they were affordable, and I was scared. I didn't know a thing about microprocessors. So I took home a data sheet, studied it. I said, wait a minute. These things are just like the mini computers I used to design in high school. I know this. I'm in business. So it was really lucky. As a matter of fact, the Apple products were the first product I ever designed with a microprocessor, first product I ever designed with dynamic RAM, third product I ever designed with TV MPSC output. You know, the first ones ever were kind of with all the Apple first color and paddles and things like that. But, so it was just basically, I sat down even the floppy disk. First time I'd ever done anything like a floppy disk. I wrote the basic. I'd never written a language in my life or taken a course in it. But so basically I would always sit down and say, okay, with the little talents that I have, you know, certain programming techniques and certain logic that adds up to this and that and gets timed, but how can I design a good version of whatever I'm trying, not knowing how other people have designed it before?
Yeah, with enough soap, one could blow up just about anything.
Tyler was full of useful information.
Now, ancient peoples found their clothes got cleaner when they washed them at a certain point in the river. You know why?
No.
Because human sacrifices were once made on the hills above this river. Bodies burned, water seeped through the wood and ashes to create lye. This is lye, the crucial ingredient. Once it mixed with the melted fat of the bodies, a thick white soapy discharge crept into the river. As your hand, please.
What is this?
This is a chemical burn. It hurt more than you've ever been burned, and you will have a scar.
What are you doing?
Guided meditation worked for cancer. It could work for this.
Stay with the pain. Don't shut this out.
No, no, no. Oh, God!
Look at your hand. The first soap was made from the ashes of heroes, like the first monkey shot into space. Without pain, without sacrifice, we would have nothing.
I tried not to think of the word serum or flesh.
Stop it! This is your pain. This is your burning hand. It's right here.
I'm going to my cave. I'm going to my cave. I'm going to find my power animal.
No! Don't deal with it the way those dead people do. Come on!
I get the point, okay,
no,
please?
No, but your feeling is premature and light. It's the greatest moment of your life, man. And you're off somewhere missing.
I am not!
Shut up. Our fathers were our models for God. If our fathers failed, what does that tell you about God?
No, 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 I don't.
Listen to me. Consider the possibility that God does not like you. He never wanted you. In all probability, he hates you. This is not the worst thing that can happen.
It isn't.
We don't need him.
We don't. I agree. I
agree. Fuck damnation, man. Fuck redemption. We are God's unwanted children. So be it.
Okay, so I get water.
Listen, you can run water over your hand to make it worse, or look at me, or you can use vinegar to neutralize the burn.
Please let me have this, please.
First, you have to give up. First, you have to know, not fear, know that someday you're going to die.
You don't know how this feels.
It's only after we've lost everything that we're free to do anything. Congratulations. One step closer to hitting bottom.
Tyler sold this soap to department stores at $20 a bar. God knows what they charged.
This is the best soap.
Why, thank you, Susan.
It was beautiful. We were selling rich women their own fat asses back to them.
Very psychotic, religiously preoccupied, and he's eating copious pages of the Bible and swallowing them. He says it's the body of Christ. So I'm very, you know, I really feel like he needs
good rubbish.
Okay. Right. I feel like he needs to be hospitalized involuntarily.
He's not taking his medication, right?
No, he refuses. He's not on any medication. He refuses to see a psychiatrist.
Okay.
And this has been going on for several months that they've tried to get him help.
He's been here for a while?
He's been here for a while.
Okay.
And he was actually eating a page of the Bible when I interviewed him.
What's his name?
So his name is Wilbur Sims.
Now, what point did you get from?
I'm not here to give you no poison, all right? What I'm trying to do, this is what I'm trying to do.
Uh-huh.
You're going to get checked out. Nobody's saying that you're going to stay, all right? But you got to go get checked out.
Yeah, and what charge?
There's no charges. You're going to the
hospital. I ain't going.
landmass to this day, so it was quite large. This civilization was created before Atlantis existed, almost 40,000 years before. And they were also a dual civilization, one of agriculture and one of science. However, there was a little bit more of a warring faction in Lemuria. The two civilizations were connected by tunnels under the southern part of the United States. In the past, we have had archaeologists discover some of these tunnels, and so they really do exist there, as they do exist in other places. There was a civilization much prior to that in the area of the North Pole. There was an experimental civilization almost 140,000 years ago that existed in what we know now as northern Siberia, on the surface of the planet. I really need to comment that all of these civilizations, in order for this level of soul to incarnate and be compatible with the planet Earth, had to create their own atmospheres. And so they were what we would call domed cities, not domed in the case of plastic or glass or things like that. They were domed with energy. In other words, there were force fields of energy set into place, and these force fields of energies contained the vibrations and the atmospheres that the beings incarnated there needed for their survival. For the energies of the planet Earth itself were not compatible for habitation at that time.
Did some of the key people from Atlantis come to the surface of the Earth at certain times in order to communicate to the spaceships?
Yes, they did. They had little shuttlecraft, which they used throughout the tunnels to get to the surface. And for the most part, though, they really did not need to do that. We're talking about the transmission of energy by thought pattern. And so there is nothing that really blocks it. And so because of the evolution of their souls, they had developed to a very high degree the ability of telepathic communication. And so they were just able to transmit by thought waves information from one area to another.
The aerospace corporations who have spent and wasted $120 billion since the 1950s on research and development of space weapons, these people realize that this is where the new arms race can go, that for the next 40, 50 years and more, they can continually build and replace satellites and weapons, and it'll be the biggest open-ended boondoggle the Earth has ever seen.
Of this hour,
Coli. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well-cooked, regular beef.
Yeah.
It's okay.
What is it about ground beef, then?
I don't know.
Looks like baby brother.
Maybe it's in the processing. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't like to think about it.
I know.
All right, I think I'm going to go get in the shower.
Are you going to go to that thingy tomorrow?
No.
Why not?
Well, I was going to, but then I realized going to come and do some like yard work, and I need to spend some time out there because I'm going to be away a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, next weekend I'm going down to Middleburg, and then I go to L.A., and then, you know, I'm going up to New York the last week in October. It's just all my weekends are going to be
yeah
occupied, and I won't have time to do the things I need to do outside.
So what time is your appointment on Monday?
3:30.
And when's your little event? Do you have an event to go to?
Wednesday night.
So you're held on Wednesday night.
Oh, I'm hoping, but if not, there's a girl who said that she's able to blow my hair out. I just need it cut. It's just in my face. It's driving me crazy. And I'll get the highlight done, you know, closer to the end of the month when I have more time. Maybe I'll have more time. It seems like my time is always so limited. So.
I hate work. I never want to go.
Well, you just have a situation that you need to get out of. You're not helpless. You can get out of
in
this
getting
situation.
Victoria Abril in bed, momentarily away from her philandering husband, and ends in a kind of very sweet, I suppose typically French, you can have it all kind of scene, back in the house where she herself is converted into pregnancy.
Maybe you'll like it.
It's, I don't know. I think it's a few steps ahead of Chasing Amy. I'm not sure.
I'm hoping that you're going to have an answer here real soon. I mean, how long has it been? 3 weeks since she got
I believe that the American release of the movie changed the end. In the French movie, it ended with there's a clear statement that the husband is picking up a man and having his own homosexual affair. In the American version, that actually was totally cut out.
I'd like to see you get out of where you are now. Not necessarily for any other reason, except that it's just not going to get any better.
Could they go off the butch? Could actually deal with her being maybe even a lesbian having a baby?
That's a depressing.
We weren't even friends.
Yes, we were.
We weren't friends yet.
Yes, we were.
We were not.
About gay men's
lives
coming out from England.
Yeah, but we
the Visconti movies
from
the 40s even have some gay characters.
Talked.
They've always been far, far ahead of Hollywood.
I knew.
It's
when
different.
Was his birthday? I
they
knew all about your going to New York.
Yeah,
they,
but
there's
I mean,
a different
that was
sort
like,
of audience for it as well.
And we're seeing it now coming out of Australia as well. You're absolutely right. Much interesting work coming out of these places.
1-800-422.
Seems like it's so much longer ago. I mean, really, it feels like 10 years at this point.
We filed a complaint with Madeleine Albright. I wrote it myself in January of 2000, itemizing 12 governments around the world that had complained about this Afghanzi apparatus headquartered in London carrying out terrorist atrocities in Turkey, in Pakistan, in Saudi Arabia, in Israel, in France, in Russia, in India, and all of those governments were completely rebuked. When I submitted a request to Madeleine Albright to open an investigation into whether Britain should be put on the list of countries harboring international terrorism, I never so much as got a letter back acknowledging that they had received my request.
That chance, yeah.
When I feel so empty, when I feel like nothing, nothing, nothing. Oh, here we go, one more time, one more time, one more go around. It's all dry, no more, no more, no more. So here we go. Oh, no, oh, no. It's all gone. Nothing, nowhere, no way, no why. But there's a nice story about a dog and a man and an umbrella stand, but it's bland, it's so bland. I don't understand what happened. Oh well.
And the reason why the United States is taking that position is because we don't want a ban on weapons in space, because we want to be the first to put them up there, and we think once we've done that, we then can use those weapons to control space, to deny other countries access to space. And then they have a patch they wear on their uniform. It says Master of Space. And they say that if we can get away with this, we will then be the Master of Space.
So almost every piece is sort of an adventure, or is an invention as you go.
They become not their mother's version, their father's versions, their past's version of themselves. They become their version. Not just a better who they were, but a whole different self. Metamorphosis does happen. And in many of you, it has happened. You did come out of your childhood. Maybe not as cleanly as you would like, but you did. And they're still maybe trying to find that sense, but you're not content to just be what your mother wanted you to be or your father wanted you to be, and not to lay it all on them, what society, what the consensus wanted you to be. Maybe you don't know how not to be yet fully, but you weren't willing to settle. Now, this metamorphosis process can happen very tragically as well. It can get twisted and distorted. Because even today, you look at what happened in Littleton, Colorado. Those boys sought something sacred, not in beauty, but in the violence. They wanted an enchanted moment in that crisis. They wanted something that they would, by their twisted sense, call the hallows. And they chose it. It just didn't happen. They didn't just show up one day and, by God, I've got bombs and guns. They planned it. They organized it. They chose it in the traditional... That movie about massive killing in that regard, that was so controversial, certainly so, natural born killer. Seeking not in beauty but in violence, not in enchantment but in crisis, not in love but in pain, not in solitude but in loneliness, cut off, separated, refusing to be connected. What did their parents do wrong? Well, maybe, but what's in them that refused to be connected, that made it look like, pretend they were normal, connected, when they were purposely not? They were seeking their twisted, distorted version of the hallows, and doing so by choice. They were seeking a state of ecstasy. Not an ecstasy as we would define it, or that you would define it or know it, but they were looking for a peak experience. Wow, we're going to go and we're going to blow up the school, we're going to blow up these cars, we're going to get a plane, and we're going to fly into New York City and crash and burn, and the whole world, what a peak experience. That's what they were seeking. Something creative. Distorted, twisted, sick, but in their minds creative, with imagination, with will, oh, and the passion they devoted. and they wanted to shine.
What doesn't kill you defines you.
Technology that the ozone layer will fail. It's undergoing a metastasis now. It's not just a big hole over the Arctic that is growing greater every winter. It's actually a metastasis, sort of a thinning of the ozone layer all around the globe, being aggravated by a lot of things. And that when it fails, people will actually be driven underground and in solid sealed habitats because it becomes too dangerous, ionizing radiation, UV radiation, to live outside. We're looking at 50 to 100 years down the pike. And then there's a point that's reached where something very interesting happens. There is another civilization that does land on Earth and does assist. And we actually put that in our report in, as an appendix.
All right, Carl.
No, it's sort of like industrial espionage, or you know, we recreate the technology that Tesla had, and let's say it was something astounding that was forgotten, lost, stolen, or whatever, and we're not using it today, and we can make a lot of money out of it.
Electricity out of the air. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Usually, though. People are interested in technology for technology's sake. I have found very few cases as a technology manager, that was my former life, where there's a soul involved in the technology. It's like there isn't any soul. It's about money and it's about power. And I'm tired of living around those type of people and that type of lifestyle.
Do yourself a favor. First thing, get a firearm.
You speak of the war in the Gulf as the first war in space. With that going, war in space isn't that much of an abstraction. How is it that the Persian Gulf War and the Kosovo War were space wars?
Because all war anymore is directed by satellites. You use satellites to look at the Earth, to identify targets, and then direct your attack, whether it's from airplanes or ground troops or ships or rockets or anything else. It's all directed through space. And so if we can do that, so could another country. And so the United States wants to put weapons in space so that we can destroy other countries' satellites in space, so then we'll be the master of space.
Earth scientists have been attempting to contain high-temperature plasmas for decades, but have so far failed to come up with a magnetic bottle configuration that can confine it.
For transmission. They also used the crystals themselves, the large quartz crystals, to amplify the frequencies and the vibrations so that they could travel further at a higher frequency of understanding.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
That are going to be able to come out, and if we can pay them enough, we should need to value them. And I feel that in this administration that we are going to see that they're going to value the teachers and value our children, our future.
Well, that will be interesting. That will be certainly interesting.
I think a hard...
I don't know, it seems...
Well, yeah, I have to be.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
How we make these
that's
changes.
Yeah.
So you said we're planning to have the president in the White House. I mean, that's
right.
Optimism.
Uh-huh. That's
you
right.
Vision it,
mm-hmm.
And you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Being an idealist only means that you're capable of imagining it could be better than this.
Just an idealist isn't enough. You've got to work on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you've got to imagine it first.
Right.
You've got to be capable of thinking it could be better.
Yes.
Mm. That's right. That's right. Well, now the Oracle presented all sorts of concepts, and now it's re-presenting in a way. The concepts, do you think, are they... you're rewriting... the Monday night class,
yeah.
And you're re-presenting.
Mm-hmm.
So, how is that? How does this how do those things stack up now after all that time?
Well, the first thing is the model of what was done, and so by republishing the Oracle, the model is available for people to look at. It's a model of design, imagination, balancing of verbal image and visual image. It's of course in content. It's a model of how to think about the world that you're in, how to be idealistic and have a vision of the world you want to happen, and all of these things are in there amidst a whole lot of humorous.
In a way, I think that. That's true also in terms of politics. That is, what we need to help us in the nation is not someone like Adlai Stevenson, who's too much like a swallow. Bertrand Russell is too much light in his personality. McCarthy had a little more of the dark side, but not enough. So that's a problem in the United States. We can always elect to the presidency or swallows or doves or white crows like Nixon.
lights off.
Plasma will be described. The point of the puncture and the protons spin around the bottle's flux lines in the opposite direction. Internally, electrons repel electrons and protons repel protons. This interchange instability becomes faster and faster as electrons spin around the bottle's flux lines in one direction and the protons spin around the bottle's flux lines in the opposite direction. Eventually, the particles escape the confines of the bottle at its weakest point. Like air escaping from a puncture tire at the point of the puncture. Earth scientists have been attempting to contain high-temperature plasmas for decades, but have so far failed to come up with a magnetic bottle configuration that can confine it. The extraterrestrial way of creating and confining high-temperature plasma will be described as the dragon. The extraterrestrials are able to contain an amount of plasma material that is also revolving at high speed in the plasma containment tube which circles the craft's cabin. Electrons are drawn off the plasma, making the material's gravitational field monopolar. The plasma revolving at very high speed increases in mass due to increased velocity. In fact, a lump of plasma the size of a sugar cube moving at high speed would weigh in the vicinity of 4 billion tons. As the plasma's mass increases, its excess nuclear pressure, weak nuclear force, is amplified beyond comprehension. Nuclear pressure will follow the shape of and travel to the extreme end of a solid. There, the pressure will radiate off the sharpest edge of the solid. This is similar to the way static electricity leaks off the sharpest protrusion of a piece of metal nearest to an electrical ground. Because nuclear pressure behaves in this manner, the extraterrestrials cover their plasma containment tube with an adjustable pointed flange that can be pitched to any angle relative to the plasma containment tube. In the case of the Earth, the nuclear pressure flange is pitched at about 23.5 degrees. 23.5 degrees is the angle upon which the Earth rotates on its axis relative to the Sun. The angle at which nuclear pressures radiate from the directional flange is the same as the angle at which it strikes and reflects from the craft's parabolic reflecting dish. The angle of incidence equals the angle of reflection. It is the saucer shape of the craft's parabolic reflecting dish that played a part in these craft being named flying saucers.
What was the purpose of communicating with the spaceships?
It basically related to what we call energy vortexes, spirals of energy that help keep the planet within balance, that help hold it in its orbital pattern, that help keep it in its axis pattern, and also to nourish and generate the energy patterns on the surface of Earth for future incarnations. There were certain areas of this world that were designated where the resettlement and repopulation of Earth would occur. And by coordinating this with the Space Brothers, they were able to have the vortexes placed in certain areas that then would energize the Earth so that plant life could grow, that animals would start to produce themselves, and also areas where human civilization would be able to endure and survive.
Are you my friend?
Well, God bless you. I was telling Bill that last night I couldn't sleep, and I got on my knees and prayed for you that the Lord would just give you strength.
I told my sweet wife last night we got mental telepathy. I said if I didn't think I'd embarrass him, I'd say, please, dear Lord, I need you more than every day of my life. I got the Russians on one side of me taking air, the Chinese are dropping bombs around, contaminating the atmosphere, and the best man I ever knew, I had a stroke and a disease hit him, and I've been tied in here with my cabinet all day, and I'd have him just make him come down and spend Sunday with me.
Well, bless your heart. I'll be glad to. I told Bill that there were two things. One was I just felt terribly impressed to tell you to slow down a little bit. I've been awful worried about your physics.
Well,
and then the second thing, you've got this election, in my opinion, wrapped up, and you've got it wrapped up big. There's no doubt in my mind about that. You know, when Jesus dealt with people with moral problems, like dear Walter had, and I'm telling Bill I wanted to send my love and sympathy to him.
Thank you.
He always dealt tender. Yeah. Always.
Yeah.
I know the weaknesses of men, and the Bible says we're all sinners, and we all involved one way or another, and I just hope if you have any contact with him, you'll just give him my love and understand.
That'll mean more than anything. Come down here Saturday evening and have dinner with us, and let's have a quiet visit, and maybe have a little service Sunday morning in the White House itself.
Than the technologies these days.
Well,
multiple chart layout, combination overlay graphs, two y-axis graphs, improved bar, Gantt, pie charts, box and whisker plots, candlestick charts, histograms and frequency polygons, polar and radar graphs, drop reference lines, error bars, curve fitting, moving average, enhanced labeling options, improved scaling options, improved printing quality, a set of general drawing functions.
Final message on the pager. Get on the corresponding bus and take it to the end of the line. Nearby bank of outhouses. In center unit, find pair of blue plastic garbage bags. Make your deposit as usual. When you have done this, get back on the bus. Do not hesitate. Do not deviate from the designated course. You will be monitored at every interval. We are prepared to act. The words were similar, but there was a new component this time. Desperation. When you spend enough time around the chemistry of desperation, you come to recognize the smell. One desperate element is combustible. More than one desperate element is lethal.
Are you saying that Atlantis was an experimental community and that it had to be in a subterranean location in order that the experiments be carried out and not be tampered with by having it on the surface of the Earth?
In one way, that's true. However, it could have remained on the surface of the Earth before the planet's axis was tilted. When the tilting came, it just like I took you and shook you violently, you would be totally disorganized and disoriented. And that's what happened to all the energies in the atmospheres above Earth. Because of the tilt in Earth's axis, all the vibrational patterns of energy relating to the surface of Earth became quite disorganized. And so it became inharmonious with their vibrations to continue to exist on the surface of Earth. And they went below to create their own patterns of energy. Until all the tidal waves and everything else that happened settled down and the surface of Earth became peace again. When the surface of Earth became peaceful again, it took many thousands of years for the energy vortexes to be put back into place so that we could have even the sparsest type of vegetation and proper levels of oxygen and hydrogen in the air, so that mankind could begin to incarnate and exist upon the surface of Earth.
But during the 1980s, the art world moved beyond graffiti art. While dealers looked for something new, Haring seemed increasingly isolated from critical acceptance in the art world.
Keith Haring is one of the few artists who have remained committed to a populism, that he's, as I said, bypassed the art establishment, and rather than being pulled in, he's remained quite an outsider to some extent. Many of his activities are not appropriable by museums and private collectors, so that he's remained a loner.
Million years. And fields throughout the temperate zones of the world. They haven't changed in either form or habits for more than 50 million years. The big fellow there, feeding on the smaller, red grease-eaters, is of a savage species called Camponotus vicinus Meyer. It's of a desert variety, very similar to the giant mutations we found in New Mexico.
I repeat, stay in your home. Your personal safety, the safety of the entire city, depends upon your full cooperation with the military authorities.
read a book a long time ago about Einstein's wife, who was a physicist, as I remember, and I may be erroneous here, and that she did a paper, actually, on some of the germinative ideas in this E equals MC square. And I am writing a book, actually, on our models in the company of women and how our models right now for organizations are working in many cases because they're missing the feminine consciousness and the balance, the literally the balance of the other side. The seeing of the generative side, the DNA elegant spiral, paired in a complementary way with the wonderfulness of the male quantitative linear mental model. And it's the dropping out of that that we've been missing for centuries, actually.
Carlotta, what's your book about?
It's about adding the feminine consciousness to the models of organization development.
Okay.
That we would suggest, but beyond that, it is what you live, it is what you experience. You see, you don't have to take our word for it. Yes, maybe you hear it from us for the first time. Maybe we are the only ones you know that put it together in this particular way. The power of such active, conscious, becoming more conscious participation by making choices and then acting upon those choices and living them. But you don't have to just rely upon our word or hold it as a philosophy alone or as a theory alone. You have the life experience. You have seen it. Maybe not in its most positive face, but you have seen it, perhaps in the very example that we give of self-pity. For you have known those who have so chosen, so acted and so lived, and you know nothing would stop them until they made a different choice. Until they acted upon a new choice and started living a new choice that nothing and nobody could stop them. So, though it works in the negative sense of it, it works in the positive sense. You've made the choice. Now it is time not to be tacit in your acceptance of that choice, nor to be passive in your participation, just waiting for the dream and the new world to come. Rather, it is time to be active by acting upon and by living. Now, toward that end, before we work with you in meditation, we want to describe several ways of participation. Not all the ways that we spoke of during the culminating weekend of November 1997, Earth Changes Beyond the Pinnacle, but we want to discuss four particular ways, culminating with that cresting the wave, dawning the light. So how to participate? Oh, there are a myriad of ways, certainly so. But we suggest some. We suggest some as a way to create a new map, to give you, in a way, a new map. In this, one of the keys is to not become obsessed. Not make it your life mission, your life work, to make sure the triangular wars don't happen, to abandon everything else in your life, to abandon this and that and the other, because after all, if these triangular wars happen, none of that's going to have any meaning anyway, and so therefore I'm dedicating my life to making sure that none of those triangular wars occur. If you become so obsessed and make that your singular mission, too much of your identity, too much of your image, too much of your definition of self will be involved in those triangular wars, and therefore you will need them to continually be a threat, to have meaning, to have significance, to have identity. And you will become part of the problem, as the cliche says. So participation does not mean obsessively so. It does not mean focusing only on the problem. It has such focus, but not singular. So how to participate? Each of you will participate, as we say, in your own way, uniquely, individually, with a great deal of beautiful diversity. But it begins for everyone, in a certain sense, the point of beginning that we encourage all of you to work with is to build the buildings. It starts there. Regardless of the means, the measures, and the manner in which you go about your personal participation to do your part, not at all, just your part, begins, however, with the buildings. And so the first way to participate actively, consciously, is to actively and consciously choose to build presence. Not just to show up, that yes, but not just to show up. But to show up as the adult. Not the child, not the adolescent, not just the grown person, but the adult that in fact you are. Because you see, to bring other than that is not present. If you were a child, okay. And those of you who, and those adolescents too, if you were a child, who were adolescent, then it would be appropriate to bring your child, to bring your adolescent. That would be responsible. But you're not. You're not a child. You're not an adolescent. You're not only a negative ego. But you are the adult and the spiritual adult. Bring that part to show up, to be awake, to be exploring, to be achieving, etc. Build your presence. Build your artistry. It's time to get real. It's time to be authentic. Not who you were authentically a year ago or 5 years ago. Who you are authentic. It's never ending. Because your authenticity is always growing and changing.
What about you? You got a name? Huh?
Smith.
What Smith what? Well, you got a first name.
Thank you.
heart rate in the center. The rest doesn't matter. They're going to take the rest anyway.
Suggest to you, web studies are very little help along these lines in terms of figuring out what is dominion and what is domination, for the two very much go hand in hand, as one precludes the other and the other precludes the one. When you do look to Webster under the word of dominion, the first definition is domain, which of course you learn very early you should never use the word to define the word, but nonetheless, Webster, we suppose, has a certain longevity and ability to do so. But when you look up dominion or domain, which happens to be on the same page in the dictionary, luckily, therefore taking very little effort, it has to do with complete ownership. Complete ownership. It has to do also, dominion has to do therefore with a supreme authority. And therefore the word starts to take on meaning, and particularly then when you look to the synonym of dominion, it is often power. So dominion has to do with complete ownership, and therefore dominion of yourself, complete ownership of yourself, dominion of your reality, complete ownership of your reality. It's starting to make a little sense, but still rather vague and rather distant, most definitely. To have a supreme authority, not superior authority, supreme authority over yourself, to have supreme authority in your reality. Again, it's starting to make some sense, but still rather nebulous at the very base. And the word power as a synonym in Dear Death looks encouraging for the word, most definitely. When you similarly look up the word dominate, which also happens to be on the same page in the dictionary, you get quite a different meaning. It means to rule. It means to control. It means to occupy an elevated or superior position. To occupy, that's a nice way of putting it, to occupy an elevated or superior position. Not supreme, but superior. And the definition of dominate has nothing to do, or no mention of the word power, which also, as you look at it, is a curious restructuring, for so often people automatically think in terms of domination and power as somehow being synonymous, but in fact they are not. But you see, Webster doesn't give you much to the feeling nature of the words. How does it feel? What does it really mean? How does it apply? And how do you use domination or dominion? And that is really all right, for the dictionary is not intended to be a book that conveys feeling. You are the ones who convey feeling. You are the ones who give meaning, give life to those particular concepts and what lies beneath them. You're the one who creates the feeling around them, and thus the application of the concepts in your reality. The word dominion feels good, because you see, there was a time in your collective past and in your personal past, macrocosmically and microcosmically, when you knew dominion, though you could not even at that time spell the word. And so when you hear the word even, or think of it in its vagueness and in its cloudy conceptualizations that come to mind, even if they're wrong, you are tapping into a certain memory, a certain cellular and personal memory of what dominion is all about. You had it once, in many lifetimes ago. You had it once in this lifetime. And you lost it. And you lost it, and you gave it up.
both as an action of having it ripped away from you, losing it, and an action of voluntarily surrendering it or sacrificing it in terms of your choice to give up dominion, both in the collective of your lifetimes and in this personal lifetime. And you gave it up and lost it to domination. You have chosen, as a collective and as a personal person, to dominate or attempt to, and to give up any sense of dominion. Now, why you chose it and where you chose it and all of that we're going to be discovering, but it is important to understand that you did give it up. Domination is much like chauvinism, where we have talked in the past to ask someone, have they overcome their chauvinism, whether they are a man or a woman? Have you overcome your chauvinism? And if the answer is, gee, I don't know, I haven't looked yet, then you haven't. Because chauvinism is something that you generate and make a part of you. And until you actively, consciously go about busting it, breaking it, overcoming it, whatever word you want to use there to depict the meaning, until you do that consciously, you are a chauvinist. It is not something that you avoid. It is not something that you drop off in the middle of the night. It's not something that just evaporates without you knowing it. You have to consciously, actively make that decision. And the same is with domination. Gee, I don't think of myself as a dominating person. In fact, I go about quite the contrary, trying to show people at great expense to my personal reality how I'm the exact opposite of a dominating person. I'm being totally dominated. I'm a total victim, a total martyr, a total loser of this reality. I dedicate myself to proving that over and over again. How could I possibly be a dominating? And we would suggest that similarly, unless you have actively, consciously gone after your domination and broken it, busted it, risen above it, whatever, you are a dominating person, acting out of domination. You may be doing a very lousy job of it, but you're still acting out of that place of domination.
Like Warhol, Haring broke the boundaries between high and low art. And by reaching out to the widest audience, he took the process even further.
The major issue in the art world of the next decade is very likely to be the conflict between those who prefer the traditional old-fashioned art world with a small audience, serious galleries and museums, and then the constituency which Keith Haring is very much the leader of, wanting to expand art, expand the art impulse into department stores, onto the streets, onto clothes that people wear.
But during the 1980s, the art world moved beyond graffiti art. While dealers looked for something new, Haring seemed increasingly isolated from critical acceptance in the art world.
Keith Haring is one of the few artists who have remained committed to a populism, that he's, as I said, bypassed the art establishment. And
you don't even really taste it until after it's already down there, and it starts filling your whole body, making it warm.
Mm-hmm. Say, listen, why don't we put on some music, huh? I mean, you see anything there you like?
Well, whatever you want to put on would be good. I don't know that much about music.
Well, I am so tense after today. I really think something slow would be nice, you know, kind of unwind.
Okay.
Ooh, here's something. I think you'll like this.
Okay. Yeah, that does sound nice.
Do you dance?
I do. just a little maybe foxtrot or something. I never did much dancing before.
This is kind of music, you know, like Fifth. I just love to dance. I haven't danced in so long. Would you mind?
Okay, if you want to.
Here, I'll just put the brand new snippet down. And yours right next to it?
I finished mine. That's right, I could write it down, I guess.
Oh, this is nice.
I don't know. I hope I don't step on your feet.
Oh, I'm not worried. No, see, I mean, we don't even have to move our feet. We just kind of stand here. Close and... Oh, it's been a long time. Am I making you nervous?
No, it's, that's all right.
I like it. You're much taller than my husband was.
Yeah.
Look, I'm sorry, you know, if I'm making you nervous. Is there, do you like another brandy?
Well, okay, if you're going to have one.
Well, I tend to get very, very dizzy when I have too much to drink. I don't think I should have another one. I'm pretty relaxed. But I think you should have another one.
Well, if you think so, okay.
Okay. You want to take a look at the rest of the apartment?
Yeah, that might be nice. Is it all right if I just walk around, take a look?
Sure. That's the kitchen in through there.
Right. Have your own kitchen up here.
Everything a body could need. Here's your brandy.
Oh.
You feel that going through you?
Yeah, it feels nice.
Everybody ends up dead. Just a matter of when.
Peter.
In the New Testament.
En el Nuevo Testamento.
Everyone was healed.
Cada uno fue sanado.
Under the shadow of Peter.
Bajo la sombra de Pedro.
Everyone was healed.
Cada uno fue sanado.
Under the handkerchiefs of Paul.
Pañuelo de Pablo.
Everyone was healed.
Cada uno fue sanado.
Jesus said, as the serpent,
Jesús le dijo al siervo,
has to be lifted up,
si yo fuere levantado,
so I,
así yo seré levantado,
must be lifted up.
Así seré levantado como la serpiente.
He was lifted up.
Él fue levantado.
On that cross.
En esa cruz.
By his stripes.
Y por su llaga.
You were.
Tú fuiste.
Healed.
Sanado.
Look.
Mira.
Look.
Mira.
Look.
Mira.
And be healed.
Y sé sanado.
And be healed.
Y sé sanado.
Everyone.
Cada uno.
Everyone.
Cada uno.
North of the equator, the parabolic dish of the spacecraft is rotated at high speed counterclockwise. Reverse, south of the equator. This is the same manner in which water drains or hurricanes and cyclones rotate above and below the equator. This is the Coriolis effect. The dish rotation causes the nuclear pressure waves to reflect from the parabolic dish in a downward spiraling vortex that has a focal point of 23.5 degrees. The counterclockwise and clockwise rotation of the craft's parabolic reflection dish and nuclear pressure vortex, performing respectively north and south of the planet's equator, causes grass at a landing site to bend and twist into a spiral shape relative to the way the dish and vortex are turning at the time of landing and takeoff. The picture below is of a UFO taken by amateur astronomer James Lucci near Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania in 1968. The conical projection beneath the craft is tapered at 23.5 degrees. Other UFO pictures showing 23.5 degree conical projections beneath the craft are numerous.
Sia con lui.
E con il tuo spirito.
fratelli e sorelle, convocati dallo Spirito, celebriamo nel giorno del Signore il mistero dell'amore che libera e salva. Oggi, giornata missionaria, la Chiesa è invitata ad annunciare con passione e dedizione la parola che salva, perché quando i figli dell'uomo verranno nella gloria, trovi sulla terra uomini e donne vigilanti nella fede e operosi nella carità, testimoni e maestri. Sono per noi i santi, in modo particolare oggi gli sposi, Luigi e Maria, che nella vita familiare hanno vissuto in modo esemplare il mistero grande dell'amore di Dio.
WZBC out of Newton. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman. Drinking the ions. Keep my iron count up high. 90.3 FM out of Newton. Capital Z. BC Radio, capital of WZBC. Underground, so that we're impervious to aerial assault. In the Office of Naval Intelligence, you can't get us here. WZBC.org, up in the sky. And 617-552-4686, U.S., planet Earth. Studio475.com/NM MP3s of the same thing. I'm going to fill out a copious personal dossier on yourself. The picture, passport size, and got to have the fingerprint technology installed. And the sensory smell attachment, so we can pinpoint you and plan a bizarre lifelong program of disinformational media propaganda inculcation. I hope you won't mind. It's a revenue source. In this land of great wealth, man has to resort to amazing things to live on this earth.
At 6 o'clock, we rebuilt the chute. We opened the doors and the 6,000 remaining turkeys, the sun now low behind them, walked through to the pen. We cleaned up, we ate supper, and we went to bed. That's the day we had before the night 3,000 turkeys died. At midnight, Mother woke us up. We have to get to the pen. Daddy needs us. We had been too exhausted to hear the storm. We ran out in the driving rain. Flashes of lightning showed Daddy picking up turkeys and throwing them, one after the other. When people learn I grew up on a turkey farm, they invariably ask, "Is it true? Are they really so stupid that they open their mouths in the rain, look up at the sky, and drown?" The answer is yes. Some of them do that. They are that stupid. But that's not how 3,000 die in one night. They die because they are scared, and they huddle together in their fear. They climb on top of each other, trying to get close, to find protection in the mass of bodies, and they suffocate. We called it piling. It wasn't unusual for a loud noise to cause a pile in the brooder house. If there wasn't someone to pull them off each other, 50 could die because someone slammed a door. But this was worse than any pile we'd seen. Turkeys who'd never spent a night outdoors, panicked by thunder and lightning and rain in sheets. All we could do was pull them out of the pile and throw them away from it. They would run back, still seeking the comfort of the group. After a while, standing in mud, grabbing soaked turkeys, throwing them, grabbing some more, you don't know if the ones you were throwing are dead or alive. You don't care. Maybe we saved some. The next day, the sky was cloudless and the sun bore down on us again. We picked up dead turkeys, throwing them onto the back of a flatbed truck. Daddy drove the truck into a field far from the house. 3,000 dead turkeys sitting in the Missouri sun for 2 days. The company that owned the turkeys had them insured against acts of God, so we couldn't do anything until the insurance inspector had seen them. He came, a man from town in a white shirt and tie, who held his handkerchief over his face when he got close to the truck. He made no pretense of counting, just stood there gagging. After he left, Daddy shoveled the turkeys into Dead Turkey Gulch. He poured gasoline on them and struck a match. They burned for days.
Another little poem called Snowfall in the Afternoon, which I wrote one day when, in the Middle West in November, the snow begins falling while the grass is still green. And it bends down the grass, bends the long grass over, makes little houses underneath. At that time, at our farm in Minnesota, the barn, we had stored the barn, was full of corn that had been stored. That's mentioned in the last stanza. Snowfall in the Afternoon, the poem is called. The grass is half covered with snow. It was a sort of snowfall that starts in late afternoon. And now the little houses of the grass are growing dark. If I reach my hands down near the earth, I could take handfuls of darkness. A darkness was always there, which we never noticed. As the snow grows heavier, the corn stalks fade farther away, and the barn moves nearer to the house. The barn moves all alone in the growing storm. The barn is full of corn and moving toward us now like a hulk blown toward us in a storm at sea. All the sailors on deck have been blind for many years.
everybody, not the entire public.
¿Y se aceptó eso?
And this was accepted.
Pero no se ha controlado.
But it hasn't been controlled.
Okay, let's talk about other kind of ceremonies. For those unfamiliar with what a Sundance is, what is a Sundance? What is its purpose?
Vamos a hablar ahora de otras ceremonias como el baile del sol.
Danza del sol.
Perdón.
Danza del sol.
Danza del sol. Oh. Y por favor, dinos lo que es y qué significa.
Todos los pueblos de toda América.
Of all of the Americas.
Todos los pueblos, all the peoples.
All the peoples of the Americas.
Tenemos danzas del sol.
We all have dances of sun dances.
Diferentes formas.
Different kinds.
Todas dedicadas al sol.
All dedicated to the sun.
Porque el sol.
Because the sun.
Es nuestro creador.
Is our creator.
Y todos los pueblos nativos tenemos la misma religión.
And all of the peoples have the same religion.
We'll start Home Run Derby in just a moment.
Saturday morning.
El domingo, el sábado por la mañana.
In the auditorium.
En el auditorio.
We had 19 people.
19 personas.
Healed.
Fueron sanados.
Out of wheelchairs.
Brincaron la silla de ruedas.
Hopeless cripples.
Paralíticos sin esperanza.
Healed.
Sanados.
19 wheelchairs!
19 sillas de rueda.
This house.
Esta casa.
Is the healing center.
Es un centro de sanidad.
Not a man.
No de un hombre.
Not a man.
No un hombre.
Not a man.
No un hombre.
But God's gonna use you.
Pero Dios va a usarte a ti.
You go to the highways.
Ve a la encrucijada.
You go.
Ve.
Bring the sick.
Trae los enfermos.
Bring the blind.
Trae los ciegos.
Bring the deaf.
Trae los sordos.
Bring the dope addicts.
Trae los que no pueden hablar.
Bring them.
Tráelos.
God said my anointing.
Dios dijo mi unción.
Will be in this building.
Estará en este edificio. Aleluya. Aleluya.
Of your brother and sister.
Toma la mano de tu hermano y hermana.
Hold it up in the air.
Y levántala al aire.
Pastor is going to come.
El pastor va a venir.
Singer come.
Venga los cantantes.
We're gonna sing it.
Vamos a cantar.
I am standing.
Yo estoy parado.
All the singers come.
Venga toda cantante enseguida.
I am standing.
Estoy parado.
On holy ground.
El lugar sagrado.
This ground,
este lugar,
God told me,
Dios me dijo,
was holy,
que es santo.
It is an anointed church,
es una iglesia ungida.
It is an anointed tabernacle,
una iglesia ungida.
My anointing,
mi unción,
is here. Let's sing it all together.
Cantemos todos juntos.
It has been wonderful to be with you.
Ha sido maravilloso estar con ustedes.
I'm gonna come back again.
Yo vengo otra vez.
Put your hand up.
Levanta las manos.
Close your eyes.
Cierra los ojos.
Sing it with me.
Cante conmigo.
I am standing.
Estoy parado.
On a holy ground.
El lugar sagrado.
I am standing.